Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Requested from the judge
that he gets $5,000 to hire an investigator to prove that he was innocent. And that's where we split as a panel yesterday, because initially, you know, Pastor Charlene, well, Pastor Charlene still said it, but, you know, initially we had Pastor Charlene and myself who was like, no, you ain't got no business asking for nobody's $5,000. And Pastor Jeff and Pastor KL actually had another thought. And, you know, considering that many of us spend time in there for, you know, crimes we didn't commit, and the fact that, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, you know, you should get all the benefits that are out there. So if it's out there, you know, take it. Ask for it. You know, I did quote, you know, yeah, I guess you have not because you ask not. But Pastor KL came up with his own, you know, church folk scriptures. And, yeah, they kind of flipped me yesterday. They flipped me right on the broadcast, right live on the air. You know, I did end up seeing it, you know, their way. And it's true. You know, they're still not guilty yet. So if there is a benefit that they can apply for and possibly get, then why not? Then why not? You know, so I stand corrected yesterday. Ah, now, the church folk question was, why do we have people who have been assigned positions in the church who really don't have any business being there? Let's just call it what it is. You can't sing, don't sing. You can't beat a tambourine, please put it down. If you're, you know, if you're not good at hosting, please don't usher. Well, interestingly enough, you know, there were quite a few points that were made. One, loyalty. Yeah. Though, you know, when the church begins to dwindle for whatever the reason is, whether it's by individual exodus or major exodus, you know, you got to kind of go with who's there unless you're going to stand there and be a one-man show or one-man operation. So you end up calling on Sister Curly because, you know, she's always there. She's on time. You know, Sister Curly, go mind that back, please. You know, make sure nobody comes up in here, you know, if they're not trying to find out about the Lord. Yeah, you know how that goes. You know, what about that lunch committee? Who, you got to have somebody else frying a piece of chicken other than you. And since you've mastered the frying the chicken, you know, John said she going to bring the potato salad. And, no, Mr. Max said she going to bring the red rice. And the only thing that ends up coming out is your fried chicken. But everybody else is kind of, you know, grumbling at the lunch or the dinner, whichever one it is, you know. But on a serious note, you know, it you know, one of the other points that was made was, you know, those who put the most money in, try to keep them around, because that's how the building gonna get paid for it. That's how the rent gonna get paid. Ooh, I thank Jesus that we ain't been on that side of the fence yet, and that we will never end up on that side of the fence. Because that's got to be some pickle to be in, that you have to, you know, deal with people's stuff because, you know, the number is down, and, you know, you got to rely on their tithes and offerings. You know, and as Pastor Jeff, you know, said yesterday, you know, he's had to put some people out, you know, because they just, you know, put all the funds into the church, and now they want to take over. Yeah, well, he had some interesting testimony yesterday. That old Pastor Jeff. And between the three pastors, oh, did we have a church folk segment up in here? Up in here. Yeah. So that's how we spent our Tuesday. It was quite an interesting conversation. Well, today is Wow Wednesday, y'all. Yes, we made it. We're at the halfway mark. Yep. And I'm giving God thanks that we're here, you know, because that means we only got two more days to this work week thing. And I'm looking forward to it, you know. And yes, I do enjoy you. I do, all the time. But if it means that extra couple hours sleep, I enjoy that too. And God has been so gracious, really, for real. God has been so gracious to us to bring us to the middle of the week. And, you know, unlike others, you know, we're not struggling. Because all we got to do is turn this due time with Pastor Steph on and listen to the ladies. Okay? Well, they started a conversation last week. And we only got part, you know, part way through the list. And the other ones that they have on the list are quite interesting. So I want to make sure we finish that off because, you know, we want to make sure everyone has a pure heart and understand, you know, what it means to truly give from the heart. Yeah. But before that, we'll have our girl Vivian on with her socially conscious segment. And I'm so looking forward to that one. I don't know what she's going to come up with today. But go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere because we'll be right back.
I am Chef Manit Chauhan. The one thing I'm even more passionate about than cooking is the health of babies. My hope, like that of every mom, was to deliver a healthy, full-term baby. But for millions of us around the world, that doesn't happen. Premature birth is the leading cause of death in children under 5 worldwide. And it's not only in some far-off place. It happens everywhere. And out of all those premature babies, 1 million die each year. Those who survive can face a lifetime of serious health problems. Right now, babies need all the help they can get. They need you. Help the March of Dimes take on this global crisis. With cutting-edge research, educational programs, and community services, we will not stop until each and every baby gets a healthy start. Let's bring hope to families around the world. Let's fight premature birth.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday. Yes. Again, we are so grateful to God that he has ushered us into the middle of the week. And, you know, we are bright-eyed and pushy-tailed over here, you know, on It's Due Time. We ain't got no time to be, you know, lounging around and dragging and all that. No. Rise, shine, and give God the glory. All right. Remember that song? Ah, I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. All right. Well, you don't have to listen to me much longer as we have our girlfriend Vivian on. So let's say good morning, Viv. Vivian? Are you talking to the mute button?
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you. You getting your Wednesday morning started off on a good note. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. I'm well.
Good, good, good. What you got for us?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, the theme for this week seems to be money, 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 money.
Money.
There has been a lot going on with student loan debt relief, and so many people have been trying to get their debt excused and or paid off. Well, according to reports, over 23,000 student loan borrowers. Relief companies were accused of charging them unnecessary fees. The total distribution amount is approximately $19 million. The five companies named are DocuPrep Center, Certified DocuPrep Services, Assure Direct Services, Direct Document Solutions, and Secure Preparation Services. These were the companies named in the lawsuit that between 2015 and 2017, they were said to have violated the Consumer Financial Protection Act and the telemarketing sales rule. They are said to have deceived borrowers about the services they offered, including misrepresenting interest rates and collecting advance fees for help getting debt relief. Excuse me. Borrowers who believe they were impacted by this action, and if you have any questions about payments, if you believe that you use one of these services and that you are owed some money, you can reach out to Epic Systems by calling 877-899-2926 or emailing info@cfpbmonsterloans.org. Maybe you have some money coming your way, and just don't forget where you heard the word, y'all. You know, don't forget me if you get some of that money. Speaking of money, our next story deals with the subway system yet again. We talk on and off about the craziness that goes on down there. There's constantly news stories every day about assaults, murders, rapes, and then some. And we just had the last story of MTA increasing fare costs next year. So how does NYC spending $1 million a month on private security guards at subway stations make you all feel? I mean, at first mention, it's like, yes, do whatever it takes to keep riders safe. But unfortunately, the money is not being used to keep riders safe. According to reports, MTA is looking to crack down on fare evasion in New York City subway system by using private unarmed security guards, and it is costing the agency $1 million per month. They say more than 200 of the private guards have already been assigned to 14 troubled stations to combat fare evasion. And for me, I'm blessed to not have to ride the subway system, but this news is still making me angry. You know, we have people every day complaining about the subway system. Again, we have news stories showing how unsafe it is down there. And they are using $1 million a month, not to keep riders safe, but to keep people from jumping the turnstiles and evading fares. And if the fare increase doesn't decrease ridership, I'm sure this news story will, because it is just becoming more and more evident that they really don't care about these riders. For some reason, they're more concerned about keeping people from jumping the turnstiles, and that's just insane. Next in line is EBT scams. Thousands of New York families are claiming to be victims of EBT card skimming. According to reports, families across New York City are having money stolen from their SNAP benefits cards. When they ask city and state agencies to step in, they're saying that nothing happened. One person named Lakeisha Martinez, who is 50 years old from the Rockaways, said she went to buy snacks for her grandchildren at the grocery store with her EBT card and was shocked when she went to the register to pay. She swiped her card and the balance was already at zero. The amount stolen from her SNAP card was $900. She says she uses that money to help support herself and her four grandchildren. They are saying that EBT offices are getting dozens of calls, just like Mrs. Martinez. They are seeing a troubling spike in benefit fraud. They are saying more than 2,200 families could be impacted by this new scam. So scammers have upgraded, y'all. They're not only going for your cash, they're not only going into your bank account, but now they're going for the food stamps. So no one is safe. Lastly, a topic we have spoken about before, and that is marijuana, yet again. So we've discussed how lenient things are becoming now that it is legal. We have licenses being established to allow businesses to sell. They have it in food. They have it in candy being sold in stores. You know, it's easily accessible. Sometimes children are mistakenly picking it up, unknowingly eating it and becoming sick. And now they have marijuana delivery options coming to New York City. According to reports, dispensaries have not yet opened their doors to customers in New York who can get marijuana delivered under new regulations from the Office of Cannabis Management. There are 36 licensees that have been approved to sell recreational pot that can now deliver weed and edibles. Even though the dispensaries are not yet open for in-person business, according to the guidelines released Friday, customers who can place orders online or by phone need to prepay. They will be required to verify that they're 21 years or older when making a purchase, and they also need to show ID confirming their age upon delivery. The deliveries will only go to locations within New York, while they can be made to customers at residential properties and businesses. Deliveries are not permitted to public buildings, public spaces, community centers, school grounds, daycare centers, and houses of worship. Deliveries also cannot be made to people inside motor vehicles. They're saying the delivery workers can travel on foot or by bike, scooter, or vehicle. According to the regulations, each licensee can employ no more than 25 full-time delivery workers. So this is just becoming messier and messier. Now, not only can you just walk into a store and just get it, but now you can get it from Uber Eats or DoorDash. And it's just getting ridiculous. And as we are speaking of marijuana, that brings us to our wow story of the week. This is a listener-submitted story, and it involves weed and the church. So we have a pastor by the name of Pastor Jamal Bryant who wants to use the land owned by New Birth Missionary Baptist Church to grow and sell weed. During a podcast interview that he was on, he explained his ambitions to launch a cannabis business to help drive members in his church. He's saying that he is helping the Black community become entrepreneurs. He said, quote, "I'll be able to bring Black males that are able to do it legally. I'm teaching them farming. I'm helping them to enhance the ecosystem." He said he is urging other congregations to get into the 21st century. He's saying that, you know, the church is stuck in the 15th century and that they need to catch up. this is a way to get new members into the church. He's saying if someone were to hear, like, oh, they're growing and selling weed in the church, where can I go? Where can I sign up for this church? So it'll be a good way to get more members into the church. My goodness. I mean, he is creating jobs, y'all, right? And he's encouraging entrepreneurship. This got to be the right thing. It's got to be. But this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on my Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM, and come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners, and thank you, Pastor Steph.
I'm still trying to breathe, Vivian. I'm trying to catch my breath. All right.
I didn't hear it all.
Please tell me, for the student loan debt relief, what's the email address? I got the phone number.
Okay.
877-899-2926. What's the email address, please, Viv?
Email address is info@CFASInFrank, PAS in Paul, B AS in Bear, -monsterloans.org.
Okay, I think I got it. Okay. Ooh, child. Thank you so much, Vivian.
And you're welcome.
We ask that you hang around just in case we have some questions. We pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right, I got to talk to our ladies here. Let's talk to our girl, Lady Tamika. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning. How are you today?
I don't know anymore. I thought I knew I was fine, but I don't know if I'm able to still breathe here. Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. So, you know, when it's only a couple of us, we kind of go through each of these stories. So let's start with our first story. Back again with this student loan debt relief. Now, you're talking about over 23,000 people charged, you know, recklessly, let's call it that. And, it's funny, Lady Tamika. If you can make a buck, make the buck. It just doesn't matter. We can't be surprised where any of these scams are coming from. And now you got the people who are accused from this list of lenders, excuse me, who are just cheating people. And now you've got $19 million in charges that you've charged all these people. You know, it's like, can anybody be trusted?
You know, I honestly feel that way. I've always, it always seems like whenever there's a need, there's always somebody to get over. You know, I'll give you a prime example. It's getting ready to snow. Now, you know, some people might wait to the last minute to get the salt, snow salt. So normally the corner store has it for $20. Now today it's $55. It's wait a minute. Before it snowed, we didn't have any problem. Now I'm paying twice as much, you know?
Right.
Just like you think about certain holidays where certain people buy certain things for their loved ones. If you go a week before, it's this price. If you go the day of, it's a totally different price. Everybody wants to get off. It's one thing to get a business, you know, to do something, you know, even like a buy one, get one. Now, all of a sudden, if you notice, you don't get too many buy one, get ones. It's buy one, get one, and then you got something else on top of that. So you got to get an app, or you got to put it on your email. Well, I don't want to keep hearing from you all the rest of my life. I just wanted to buy this one little thing. You said it was one, buy one, get one. Okay, now you got to keep chasing me every week. I got to get emails from you, or I got to get a text message, or I got to get an app. I don't really like you that much, mister or ma'am. I'm not really that appreciative. I just want this one thing. So, you know, it's a sad thing that, you know, and even when you do the research, sometimes it's difficult. You say, okay, well, if I do this, you know, it's at this percent, so I'll get a benefit. But unfortunately, sometimes even with that, you get yoked up.
Absolutely. It's wherever you can, you do. And it's just that's the way of the world now. You know, if I can make an extra dollar, if it means that I can, you know, scam, or if it means that I can, you know, do this or do that, I'm going to do this or that. And it's like, wow, everywhere you turn, like you said, there's always this lingering experience that just stays there. And you're like, well, why? I just can't, like you said, buy and walk off. But they always, everywhere you turn now, all of these class action lawsuits for negligence or theft or, you know, it's like, give me a break already. Oh, my gosh. Let's hear what Shantice has got to say about this thing here. Thank you for joining us this morning, Lady Tamika. Shantice, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
You know, we're talking about, again, Vivian's got this student loan debt relief is in our face, and now it's just got another leg to it where you have all of these lenders who are being accused of charging for erroneous things. You know, all you wanted was a simple loan for, you know, in order to go to school. And now you're mm-hmm. saddled with all of these extra fees, and now, you know, somebody might be owed some money. But it's ridiculous.
Then God just give us the switch tip, stop scamming.
Yeah.
It's like the American way now. Like the thing to do is scam. You ain't doing nothing if you ain't scamming now. It's ridiculous.
It's true.
It's like any way I see I can take advantage of you, you know, if I could charge you an extra dollar, if I could charge you an extra 29 cents, I'm going to figure out a way to be able to pin that on top of what you already owe. And it's just like everyone is still trying to get back on their feet, and not only financially, since the pandemic started, and here you are creating ways to just keep people annoyed.
Yep. Oh, goodness gracious, goodness gracious. What is Vivian's next story? We're talking about, the MTA, $1 million a day, not to make sure that we're safe, you know, once we're in the subway system or on a bus, but you are actually spending $1 million a day to make sure people don't beat the fare. Lady Tamika, what goes on in your head when you hear this here with all of the surge of murders and unsafe situations down in the train station, and you're spending $1 million a day. A day. That means that if this went off for one whole year, it would be $365 million to keep people from jumping the turnstile.
Honestly, I'm not surprised. You know, there's been a vendetta for people who evade, you know, and And as crazy as it is, you know, in certain stations, it's really easy. You know, as long as there's not a cop there, you know, it's extremely easy. I've seen them, you know. I'm like, I'm paying, and I see 5, 10, 12 people just walk through that door, you know. And the sad part about it is they're still hurt by the fact that at a portion of the year, you know, nobody was paying to get on the bus. You get on, you know, and it was funny because you could take a train or a bus to the same destination. But if I'm going to take, you know, if I could take the bus and get there free, I'll take the bus, you know. And so if you ask me, I think that's a part of it, you know. And so we got to get our money back. So, you know, we'll do it that way, you know. And ultimately realize that it's costing those that commute on a regular basis. Why fault those that have been paying, you know. And I mean, because that's who ultimately is paying. If I'm evading, I'm not going to pay anymore. Why are you doing this change? You know, you just added more money to those who are habitual, you know, commuters. And so it's not fair, but, you know, unfortunately, that's the way that they're looking at it.
Absolutely. And I stand corrected. I got you, Viv. Viv sent me one big message a week. So it's $1 million a week. I'm sorry for the miscommunication and the misinformation. It's $1 million a week, but you're absolutely, thank you for the correction, Vivian. You're absolutely right. You know, at one point, who are you actually punishing, Lady Tamika? You know, you're punishing the people that still have to ride, because if you don't have to ride, you sure ain't riding. That's for sure. Now, I'm going to pay for those. I'm going to pay my fare, and for those who don't pay? Oh, I don't know about all that. So, woo child, please. What's your thought, you know, of this $1 million a week? Not for safety. With all the kids building a house back there. Not for those, you know, not to keep us safe, but to make sure that you don't have the turnstile.
My question is, if a bunch of people decided to jump the turnstile today, what are you going to do? If 80 people got together, if 40 people got together and said, we're going to bum rush the turnstile today, what are y'all going to do? How many people y'all think y'all going to catch? It's like you're focusing on the things that are not important because, again, you're trying to scam. So if this became like the incident when they tried to bum rush the White House, what are y'all prepared to do? Because if a group of people could come together for that type of plan, what is the MTA? As soon as she said, I'm just like, okay, so if a bunch of kids, because if they still subway surfing, train surfing, sitting and thinking, I could see this being a TikTok challenge. All right, so you go to your nearest subway station and see how many of y'all can hop the turnstile without getting caught at the same time. So is that solving the problem? So you didn't spend all this money to have people standing there to monitor this, to prevent this. How much are you preventing if people started dumbing out even more? Instead of, like you ladies have said, trying to come up with a plan to really keep people safe that would give people an incentive to want to ride the subway station again, hence that would now increase the money you're making genuinely because now people feel more inclined to be okay with riding the subway. But you'd rather spend more money to try to scam people out of more money. It's retarded.
You know, it's funny because as you ladies were talking, you know, my mind went back to the fact that they are unarmed. So if you did catch somebody, if one person went through, you know, we talk about this all the time on the broadcast. You know, prevention, you know, loss prevention. That's ultimately what it is. You're unarmed. What are you, what threat do you pose, Lady Tamika? What threat do you pose? If you went through the TikTok challenge like Shanti said, or if one person went through every 20 minutes, what threat do you pose? You go through and they say what? Pay your fare, pay your fare. And you keep it moving.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, back in the old days, there was a movie where, you know, a couple of guys jumped the turnstile.
Yes.
In the token booth, you know, clerk said, pay your fare, pay your fare. You know,
yes.
And then
more
what
money.
Does that result? Unless,
yes.
Yeah, thank you. Unless, surprisingly, I saw that movie. But regardless of that, you know, what are you going to do? You know, other than the token booth clerk that I mentioned before, right after the gentleman jumped the turnstile, she called the cops, you know, and I mean within seconds of him jumping. I don't think he got down to the bottom of the steps. They were already there, you know. But, I mean, who really, honestly, that's a lot of energy. You know, that means that the token booth clerk, whomever he or she may be, you know, I don't know what else. They always seem like they have something else to do. I've always noticed they're always looking down. You know, it's like, oh, so
yes.
Like, they have the
biggest. They always reading the magazine. It's true.
They have the biggest people, and they're doing everything but focusing out. You know, and I've got a friend of mine who works at the token booth, and the token booth clerk, and he'll probably kill me right now. But, you know, they are the busiest people. You're doing everything but looking at what's going on. So now, you know, with that being the case, and I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. You know, please don't beat me up, but. You know, please don't call Pastor Steph, but I, you know, that's what I'm thinking. So now that puts them at a different position, you know. So you got to stand and you got to watch and you got to watch it. I mean, that's a lot of work because I've told you, at my station alone, all you have to do is open up that emergency exit. And I've seen 20 people at one time just walk right on through, you know. And so who wants that responsibility? You know, you don't know these people's names. You know, you know a face. And you may or may not see them at that station again. You may, you know, they may be habitual. Who knows? You know, the other thing that came to mind that I've heard a couple of times is they automatically say that fare evaders are also crime committers.
Right.
And that's
right.
Not always the case. Just because
right.
I may not have the money, you know, and so I jump the turnstile. So that means that, you know, so the vendetta is against them because they try to manipulate your mind to think that if you evade a fare, that you're going to have to kill somebody. That is not the case, and I'm just so tired of hearing that.
Yeah, you can't, you know, you can't necessarily equate one with the other. That's absolutely true. You know, there is some truth to, you know, they're probably committing other little petty crimes, you know, but, you know, it really isn't, you know, no huge thing here with some threat, where, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, you're going to jail, you know, for being a mass murderer, sometimes there is no connection. So you can't always put the two together. But Shanti, you know, they're unarmed. And so again, what threat do they pose, whether people go through what you said could be a TikTok challenge, or, you know, are you talking about, it ain't going to matter whether one person go through it at a time. What are you going to say or do? And I'm going to tell you something, Lady Tamika, right before you answer, Shantice, I'm going to tell you something. You see the same way, and I agree with you, it is so funny. When you see the people go through the turnstile, yeah, all of a sudden they got money to count. They, you know, they flipping through their magazine, you know, or they counting Metro cards or whatever the situation is. You know, they do become quite busy at that time. But, you know, you really can't do a thing. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason why I brought that up again was because that's exactly where the way they're going to be. They're going to be nice and busy. They're going to be looking around, you know, because these days and times, with the way people are in the subway system, you down there, you unarmed, you ain't saying nothing to nobody. Would you agree, Shot? Would you disagree?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm not even taking the subway, and I'm already laughing at you, looking at you like as a joke. The way people are, period. That's why the token booth clerk turned a blind eye. I'm not fighting with you. It's just like the bus driver. This ain't coming out my check. Yes, as the bus driver, it's my job to make sure that I, you know, okay, you have to pay your fare. You know, so every now and then you may let a couple of kids, you know, go by some, okay, but I'm not supposed to just sit there and say, oh, it's a free ride, come on up. At the same time, I'm not going to stop the bus and hold everybody up from getting to school or work or home or whatever because you ain't paid. This ain't coming out my check. I'm not sitting behind this risking you trying to bust through this glass, this plexiglass, or try to get, or you going to wait for me to get off because I didn't told the unarmed security, I was told Otis that you jumped the turnstile, so now you waiting for me to get off because people ain't got nothing to do nowadays but act stupid. No. And then wait. So you're not protecting the riders. Fight for your fare. But you ain't protecting me either? No. Absolutely not. Everybody can ride for free. Yep. Everybody. So when they come and they say, Shantice, during your shift, we picked up that there was 80 people. I'm pretty sure. I'm surprised there wasn't more. Oh, why didn't you tell them to pay? Were you here to tell them to pay? Then, be quiet. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow. No. I don't understand. So I guess it would be more to pay the armed guards because when I did look into doing security years ago in my former life, and I don't know what I was thinking, my anger problem, but it costs more to get the security license to be armed, which means you make more. So if they're spending $1 million a week for unarmed security, just imagine how much they would have to spend a week for armed security. So I don't understand how this is supposed to work in their mind, though. Because with a gun, they would still be looked at as a joke.
Well, I think that if they had armed individuals, you know, in the subway system, it would change, you know, somewhat. I don't think it would make no huge difference. But, again, I think that deterrent, you know, for those little people like Lady Tamika was talking about, for the ones who are little petty crime people who just want to get on the train. We're not talking about those who, you know, just don't have your fare today and you didn't fill our hearts. We just talking about, let me tell you something. I knew a guy who had, listen to me clearly. He had just spent the weekend in jail for fare evasion. Okay, and when I had to meet up with him and another person because we needed to go take care of some business. And he said to me, "I'm not paying to get on this train." I said, "Don't walk with me. You just got out of jail. This is Monday. You just got out of jail." They held him for the weekend. Because, you know, for this little petty thing. And he was determined he was not going to pay his fare. So there are people who are just not going to pay. So for those individuals, an armed guard would be a deterrent, and you would make your money back possibly. But for those who are just crazy like that and they dare you, oh, no. that's not going to bother them. That's not going to bother them in the least bit. And that, to me, is the scary part, because it just, at the end of the day, it won't matter. The other thing that I thought about, and you ladies can comment, is the fact that you let these armed guards down in the train station. I don't know if I would want to be down there when the gunfire starts. I don't know, Tamika. I don't know. You got a crazy armed security guard, and you got the crazy criminal, and everybody got a gun. I don't know if I want to be down there. Would you?
Let me put it to you this way. I don't want to be down there now, you know, and there aren't any armed guards, you know. From time to time, I do take the train, and, you know, I've always been alert, but I find myself, you know, looking even further. You know, now you can't even see people's whole face in some instances because they got on a mask. So now, what do you look like? From the nose up, he had two eyes, and his hair was curled. I'm just being honest. You know, you got this mask situation. You got somebody who is trained to spot certain things. However, with you spotting things, I've seen situations where I've gotten on the train, and you know how they have an agent to clean or clear the token machine. The metro machine, the metro car machine. And there's always someone else who's got their back. So they're facing you, and you're facing them. But the look on their face, and I get it. I understand you're doing your job. The look on their face is like, you know, absolute, you know, I'm going to demolish you, that type of thing. And so you're already on edge. All you need is for any little thing to jump off. You got youth that are on the train, that play around on the train. You know, at one point it's a slap, and the next thing you know, it's a fight. You know, again, you got this person out there now with a gun. And they may not, you know, just to try and stop the madness, you start shooting. Wait a minute. These are just two youth. You know, we know the environment when we see it, when there are youth and they're playing around and they get a little roughhousey. You know, how do I know that one moment didn't set you off to start shooting just to stop the silence, you know, just to quiet things down? These are things that happen all the time, and it can get a lot worse. Now you got people with, you know, you already got commuters, you know, whether they verbalize it or not. There are some commuters that ride the train that have guns, and they're not licensed. You know, this is why we keep talking about these ghost guns. You know, people get shot in the train station, and you've got somebody who's licensed, whose job is to shoot possibly to kill. Oh my goodness, I'm you know, I get nervous. You know, all the more because of everything that's going on. And the fact that even now, with all the years that New York has had transit system and there's been dangers and it has increased all the more, you're only concerned about fare evaders. I think you really, really need to think again.
Yeah, this has become too much to think about. It has to become too much to think about. You know, Shanti, talking about the fact that, you know, you are... you're down in the train with several people who have guns. What are we talking about now? Is that utter chaos or what?
It absolutely is. I remember one time I went down there to get a Metro card because I hate going to the token booth part to get the Metro card. And as I went down there, I guess it was time for... the people to come and like empty out the machine for the money. So I didn't like realize until I had pretty much like walked up on the machine. So you had one guard who was actually taking the money out, and then you had another guard who was standing watch. And I looked up and I said out loud, and I was like, oh no. Mm-mm. And I don't remember where, I think I was somewhere in the city. And, you know, certain stations in the city, sometimes you would have to go, like, all the way around to the next one, or there's another one next to you, but it may be packed already. And I was just like, I said to the guy, I don't want to be next to you while you doing this. Do you see the movies?
Yep.
Every time, they follow y'all, they tell y'all, and then you looking up in my face, how are you standing watch for him taking the money out, But now you're looking at anybody. So when
right.
when the three people come with the guns to rob y'all, you're not even on alert. I don't want to be the innocent bystander that get hit with the stray bullet just because I needed a Metro card. So now, you feel, like you said, you're talking about having the armed guard in there, I mean down there. It does. It is really nerve-wracking, especially, you know, for the passengers who know this. So now this has been public knowledge that we have armed guards in the subway system. Of course, it's going to make you really want to nerve-wracking. But what's the point of having them at all? And again, like Lady Tamika said, look at the area where you're enforcing it. You're not enforcing it to try to ensure that the people you want money from is safe. So if everybody keep dying or keep getting slapped in the face with feces and all that, nobody's going to pay any fare. Nobody's going to pay a fare. So why not put that emphasis on ensuring people are safe? Because more and more people are catching on to the fact that y'all just about money. I mean, it's always been like that. But it's becoming a lot more blatant to where if people really start trying to pull their resources together, ladies, so you can start to find other ways to travel, then you're really going to be messed up. You're going to still have people who ride the subways and buses. But if more and more people try to carpool and more people end up being able to work from home again and all of this, now you're really going to end up losing money. And it could mainly be just because you just care about my money, you don't care about my safety. People are actually starting to notice that and care about that now.
Absolutely.
Or the safety of the guards. I'm sorry, Pastor Seth. So now you want me to be unarmed. What am I supposed to do when I catch them?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I was asking from the beginning.
When you actually catch someone evading the fare, they just slid through this turnstile, or they just went through this gate. You know, I know a bus driver who told, you know, the person that, you know, we mutually know, he drives the bus, and he said they get on the bus and they don't pay. They walk straight to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't
mm-hmm.
stop them. He says nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was so bad one day, the lady didn't pay the fare and they asked for a transfer.
Uh-uh.
And he gave it to her.
Wow. Like, I know I'm getting on here for free, but can you help me get on my next bus for free, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he said he didn't say a word. He said he just pressed the button and got that transfer out. He said, I'm not fighting with these people. So, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's really not. I can't see this being any useful way of spending the MTA people's, you know, or their... Our passengers' money. So I don't
mm-hmm.
know. Now, ladies, let's talk about this thing here with this Pastor Jamal Bryant. Now, for
mm-hmm.
anyone who knows about Pastor Jamal Bryant, he's been somebody's handful for a minute. He was the pastor of a huge church quite some many years ago, who he was under some scandal of infidelity, and he had made a baby, and part of
wow.
the congregation had, you know, called for his exit, and he told them he wasn't going nowhere, and he didn't leave. So not only, you know, did part of the church say, okay, we can't have this, but he took his pen and he did not leave. A lot of people did not leave the church. So that's not, you know, there was no great big exodus. But, you know, there was an issue with him, and that wasn't the first scandal with him. That one, like, went over the top. That's the way it ended up going down with him. Now, you in the news because you then now got on somebody's podcast and said that I'm looking at an article. It says, you know, to help the black males to work legally in the cannabis industry. He told the church, like Vivian said, that the church needs to come up to the 21st century, and he believes that launching a cannabis business will help drive the membership, like she said, and push entrepreneurship in the black community. Now, before we go any further, I said to Shantice a couple of weeks ago, I said, I'm a little lost here. When they pushed for this legalization of marijuana, I thought it was just for the use of marijuana. I did not understand this thing to be that not only could you use it without having a problem, but you could sell it without having a problem. Now, maybe it went over my head. I'm not saying that I did not, you know, miss this crucial piece of information, but that, I have a problem with that. Now, I guess I did kind of, when you think about it, you say, well, because people were saying, well, I hope that, you know, if you've already been locked up for selling, what are they going to do with those people? So I guess I did kind of know. What are they going to do with the people who are already in jail for selling weed, because it's legal to sell weed now? So, okay, Lady Tamika, he said he wants to build membership and teach entrepreneurship in the black community. What's your response?
All right. So if that's the case and we're talking about, you know, entrepreneurship, why not just get a stripper pole and put it right behind the pastor? Guarantee that you'll have people looking. They're focused right there because that's where the activity, I mean, you know, it's just, come on, you know, put a dispensary somewhere, you know. What else can we do? We can get a basketball court, you know. You know, maybe put it on the side, you know, close to, so while the service is going on, you can look over to the right and watch basketball. You know, there's all kinds of stuff, you know, since we want to do it that way. I mean, this just doesn't make sense. Where is the respect, the reverence for God, you know? So you just, anything goes now to get people into the church? You know, we are the church. You know, the whole reason for us going out, therefore, makes a difference. You know, and you can't just do anything, you know, and try and figure out that that's going to push people in. Okay, fine, to push people in, but they're not looking for God. They're looking for the thing that fills the flesh, which is the weed, you know. And I mean, there's all other types of things that you can utilize, but that, my friend, is not it.
Shantice. So you want to, you want the seats to be filled, and you want the church to be able to make money, and you want to teach people
God said, stop scamming. This ain't got nothing to do with getting no people up in no church. This is a way for you to put money in. Yo, you trying to be the Christian Nino Brown, and the church is the Carter. There is no way. So what word are you prepared to give while you're standing in front of a bunch of high people? Because you're not going to tell me that you're not, that you're, you're bringing people in because the church's property has weed. They're going to be selling and or giving out weed as they're walking in. So instead of handing out programs, the usher's going to be handing out blunts. Okay, so now that you're sitting in front of these high people, what word are you prepared to give to them that's going to captivate them, that's going to break their high? So you got them high to get in the church, But now your delivery is going to be just so dope, it's going to break their heart. To them, now they're going to pay attention to God's word through you. This
you
has everything
to Pastor
do.
Pastor Molly Mall.
No, it's Pastor Nino Brown. It is just, I don't understand how you figure. So for entrepreneurship, you're not holding any classes. There's not going to be any financial classes on how to make. So you just made $10 off this dime bag. Now, let me show you what to do with the $10. You put $2 in a savings account that I'm going to now open up for you. You don't do this. You get a credit union account because a credit union account don't charge fees. You're not fitting to do none of this. It's all about getting these people to work for you to go out and sell this weed and now bring it back. And now I guess you, what is it, a 1099 when you work for commission? Is that the form?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now you're going to be paid to write 1099s because they're going to be out. They're going to come to you. You give them how many weed bags or whatever. And now they have to come back to you with the money and you give them their cut. And like, no, this is how all these pagans... These pagan holidays started. It started with, well, we just want to populate the church so you can come and bring your customs, and we'll try to, you know, switch it up a little bit so it seems more Jesus-y, you know, and more godly, but this is ultimately what we're doing, but just as long as you come and sit in the church. No. So you're going to lose the people in the church who are trying to stay away from their former life where they used to drug and drink and sex and scamming other ways, whatever. So now you're going to lose them because you're so captivated with the idea of getting young black men in the church? No.
All right. I'm listening to you, ladies, and I'm glancing. We got stuff to talk about today. I don't think we're going to get to that topic we were talking about. Okay, so here's my question. Before we even get any further in this conversation, I mean, in this article, you already talked about the fact that weed smells. And how bad it smells now.
Yes.
So I'm supposed to go to church and serve the Lord. I'm supposed to go to church and worship the Lord. I'm supposed to go to church and praise God with the place smelling like weed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you didn't think this thing through. As much as you think you've thought this through, you haven't. All right, so let's go on into the article. I'm mindful that I'm not after Christians. I'm after people who don't go to church. Churches are just recycling people from other churches. I'm looking for people who smell like weed. That's fine. If you go outside and recruit the people off the street who are buying weed, that's one thing. But it's another thing to say that the church is now going to help you sell weed because they want to teach you entrepreneurship. All right. There's something else I wanted to say to you too. I said I want people who smell like smoke because I believe these are the people God is looking for, and too many of us have become so puffed up in our self-appointed sanctification that we fail to do outreach. In no uncertain terms is cannabis hemp a ploy or distraction from winning souls to Christ. So then what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? All right, so Lady Tamika, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. I said I want people who smell like smoke because I believe these are the people God is looking for. And too many of us have become so puffed up in our self-appointed sanctification that we fail to do outreach. What's your response to that?
Now, the word of God hasn't changed. And you can reach a person without necessarily having a whole dispensary, you know, a whole sale, a whole, you know, convention in your you know, your place of worship for that. You know, there are outreaches, there are programs that you can do. You can do things outside. You know, the summertime, I haven't seen a tent ministry in years. You know, people used to have a certain assigned property, and for that length of, you know, that area, you would minister to anybody that wanted it. You know, those days are kind of like the days of old, you know. And so, you know, there are people that are out there reaching, but we're not doing it that way. The word is still the word. When I say things, you know, it is for a reason, and I can appeal to you, and then it becomes contagious. It hasn't changed. And so when we keep making shortcuts for all kinds of stuff, this is how we end up where we are. You know, okay, so fine, you give a lenience to such and such, you know, because they do such and such, but they smoke weed. So here's the other thing. That friend has another friend that smokes weed, and as soon as you start saying that it's being sold in the church, and I could get, oh, okay, so I don't have a job, and I smoke weed. So now I'm going to get it. I know a person, you know, I know him clearly, you know, and he has not been able to hold a job down. He can't function without smoking weed. And this has been for years. He literally quit a job because he said that he was going through so much and he quit his job. Now, mind you have no finances, and okay, so the church says that now you can come there and, you know, you can get finances. Some of these people, and I'm not picking on everybody because I know there's some people that, you know, some way, somehow are still functional. You know, I can't fault you because I don't know that life. However, you know, this individual that I know, he worked enough to get the finances. Then you can't even count on him to be there on a daily basis because I need more weed, you know. And so this is what you want in your place. You know, I just feel that this is calamity. Just, you know, just the inception of it is all type of calamity. Then we also talk about, you know, children getting access to it, you know, it being put in somebody's food, somebody thinking it's a practical joke. And you almost killed Sister Sadie because Sister Sadie came to the church dinner and you decided, oh, well, let me just put a sprinkling of this, or let me put it in a brownie. And all she had was a brownie. Now she's almost passed away because you decided, oh, well, it's not going to hurt anybody. Let's just see how it works. You know, there's all kinds of, I just see this thing exploding. And, you know, now here we go with another pastor that's in the news, that stays in the news, because you decided to open up the door to all kinds of chaos, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
And I agree with you. You know, I thought about that was what I thought about the children. So you've now welcomed this into the church. What's your sermon? Do you now really have to separate the children because you don't want them to hear you? Because what you're saying now is it's okay to smoke weed. It's gone past this outreach thing. Stop putting this on some outreach. Oh, well, we can't stay within the four, you know, within the four walls. We really got to make sure that we are, you know, coming through on the outreach tip. What's your response to this outreach concern, Shantis?
Didn't you say, you read, he said something about self-proclaimed something?
What you mean, self-proclaimed? I said I want people who smell like smoke because I believe these are the people God is looking for, and too many of us have become so puffed up in our self-appointed sanctification that we fail to do outreach.
Okay, so now that we heard your self-appointed assignment, because this wasn't your assignment, and this is how we know it's not your assignment, because you're now bringing God way down. When God says, I'm going to meet you where you are, it's not to lower God's standards. It's to show people that God is not too puffed up to deal with the crackhead or the alcoholic or the sex addict or the thief or whatever you are, or just the slow person, whoever or whatever you are. So now I'm supposed to believe. And see, I just said last night that I'm real funny about I don't say to people, God didn't tell you that. And the more and more I'm listening to people, and it's a lot of these quote-unquote leaders, because my thinking is this. God could very well, you know, be telling us, and we're seeing it. We can't just function within the four walls anymore. We have to really get out and disciple and evangelize. You can't just stay in the comfort. Okay, so if they don't come in, then I'm not trying to see who I can minister to. Absolutely, we do. However, if God knows that I'm weak in an area where I'm now going to succumb to what everybody else is doing, like I've spoken very publicly about the way I used to drink, He is not going to always send me to the bar to get people up in the church. And then now I'm sitting here saying, well, we should have, and this was brought up last night from my church people I was talking to, or we should now have a cocktail hour during service because, you know, the alcoholics or the people who like to drink need church too. No. So what happens? So how do you now teach people that God is about elevation? If everything is about bringing God down and we can now service you in a way that it's okay for you to, because I agree. So now you're telling the kids, because even if you try to separate the kids and you send them to the children's room, these kids ain't stupid. They're not. We still all got to walk through the same door. So as you said, Pastor Steph, we all walk through the same door. The whole church premises smell like weed. And as you said, it completely stinks now. You could smell it a block away. These kids know more about weed than we do. And they don't even smoke it yet. So you're really supposed to convince them that you should know. So now you're going to be breeding them to now smoke and sell weed. And then my thought is you probably used to smoke and probably started smoking again. And this is why you're now enforcing it. Because if this was your former life and you no longer indulge in this, or you never indulged in this, even on the surface, you couldn't even fathom coming up with an idea like this. And this really makes sense to you that now it's not only a thought in your mind, you've now made this known to the public that this is your plan, that this is what you want to do. So now, not only that, you put the church in danger of being robbed, because now people know the church has money, because ain't nobody using no PayPal to pay for no weed. So now that they know that the church has money on deck and heavy, now you put everyone else at risk of people running up in there to now rob you. It's like, how does this make sense? Instead of you saying, you know what, I see that there's a lot more people who didn't smoke weed before, but now that it's legal, they're smoking and or selling. You know what, let us go out here and talk to them and explain to them why they should not be doing that thing. Even though the land says you should, this is still contrary to the word of God, and this is why. No. And this is how we know you don't have a word from God, because that would have been the first thing you would have wanted to share with them. This is why, even though man says you should, and the word of God says things may be lawful for me but not good for me, this is why you should not do it. You probably couldn't come up with one verse that says this is why you shouldn't do it. But you got 5 million different reasons as to why they should do it. No. You self-proclaimed assignments. And I remember Pastor Steph, you and the other pastors spoke about that before.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I was also just thinking about those days when, you know, we used to hang out till 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning just having fellowship. But can you think about it this way? You know, let's just say your mom doesn't go to church and you come home smelling like weed. Where you been, Johnny? Church. You know, I'm just thinking about it. Like, this is really, 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 really outrageously crazy.
Yeah, this has hit the Richter scale. We have actually Elder Nitesha is just joining us, so we're going to say good morning. Good morning, Elder Nitesha.
Good morning. Good morning. Sorry, I'm late. Happy to be on.
How are you this morning?
I am good, thank you. Good.
Good. We're talking about Pastor Jamal Bryant and his decision to now, you know, put this cannabis business into effect, because this will bring, as he said, black men into the church, as well as teach, you know, the church entrepreneurship. We were just talking about this quote in the article. He says, I got to tell you the first part that I had first. He says, I'm mindful that I'm not after Christians. I'm after people who don't go to church. Churches are just recycling people from other churches. I'm looking for people who smell like weed. He then went on to say, I said I want people who smell like smoke because I believe these are the people God is looking for, and too many of us have become so puffed up in our self-appointed sanctification that we fail to do outreach. In no uncertain terms is cannabis, hemp, a ploy or distraction from winning souls to Christ. What's your thought?
I think the statement in and of itself is a true statement. I don't fully understand what his business plan is. So, because I agree with the church is recycling people. We have lost the ability to go out and evangelize. I do believe that that is the assignment. It's always been the assignment. It's the Great Commission that we are to go out and to win souls. And we have to spread the gospel message all throughout. So I agree with the premise, but I guess the question is around the action that's being used in order to do this. And is that the conversation around the action? So what is he doing?
Yes.
Is he bringing cannabis into the church? Like, what is he? I don't know the action. What's the business?
Well, there's a few articles. Vivian brought it up.
Oh,
As you know, this was we haven't left this this part of Socially Conscious, but I actually looked up a couple of articles as the ladies were talking, and it is his intent to again, like you said, we are all for now bringing in the souls of that are out in the street who have not considered church, who may not have church, has God has not been presented to them in a certain way. But it doesn't stop there. Now he's talking about, well, the church is now going to, he wants to start a cannabis business in the church to sell mm-hmm. cannabis that would draw black men into the church, as well as teach black men entrepreneurship through this cannabis business.
See how we go too far?
Yep.
We go too far. So my thought is we go too far. Because the idea of using worldly means in order to evangelize, it's mm-hmm. nowhere found in the scriptures. It is not what Jesus did. Jesus, he likened himself. He did not become them.
Right.
He did not utilize the same thing that enslaved them to try to win them. If a person is enslaved by something, do we really think that it is useful, that it is a useful tool? So we still have to maintain reverence. We still have to maintain godly standard. We still have to maintain godly character. We still, like, there's still so much to be, that we have to maintain as an institution to be called a church. You might as well call yourself a nonprofit if you want to do that. Don't call yourself the church.
Right. And it has been brought up that, okay, so now the church is selling the cannabis. They're going into the cannabis business. So then are you saying that you would not sell from the church? So if you're selling, is it okay to now sell it on the premises? And if so, do you have a room where you go and buy? So now there's a room that you go and light up. Now the whole church has this stinking smell in it because it's different when someone goes out and they smoke on their own. But you are now inviting this. How are you now going to tell them, oh, we don't sell on Sundays? We say every other day, but we don't sell on Sunday. You have to chill on Sunday. Like you said, Elder Night Teacher, you've already taken their weakness to draw them. It's almost like open. You might as well go ahead and open up the liquor store for the functioning alcoholic. Where do you stop here? I want to also read this other part of this article. He said the call is not to bring people to smoke at church. The call is to bring people to church so they can catch on fire. It is my intention that if we can show young people the advantages and impact of urban farming, it will make a distinct difference. What does that mean to you? How do you read this, Lady Tamika?
I like to use illustrations to make you see my point. I have a friend of mine who is a correctional officer, and he was part of a scared straight program for young girls as opposed to young boys. And what the prisoners were doing was showing the good advantages of being incarcerated. You got a baby daycare program. You get puppies. You know, you can have a puppy stay with you in the facility. You know, and like, so it was for hardened young females. And so if you're looking at stuff like that, you start saying, hey, it's not so bad. You know, so I thought it didn't make sense. And the person that volunteered, he quit because he was like, I'm not doing this, because how am I showing youth that this is not the right way to go if I'm showing them all the good points of it? You have to understand that everything that, especially something like that, it can go completely way left. You know, just the whole idea of putting it in that type of setting can cause chaos. And so when you decide, oh, well, we're just going to show this part, we're going to show that part, and most people are aware of it, but you do have individuals that just are completely oblivious to it. You know, you're causing defeat before you even start. You're putting the cart literally before the horse.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shanti, you know, he wants to bring people. He don't want to bring people to smoke at church. Oh, Lord. It's my intention that if we can show young people the advantages and impact of urban farming, oh, my Lord, it will make a distinct difference. What difference?
I have to look up urban farming because I don't like talking about that. I did. Because I'm like, first of all, when I hear urban, my mind goes to it includes something that we ain't got no business doing. So I looked it up real quick, and urban farming is pretty much the production of food and other products, but it's mainly food within the community that's being produced and distributed throughout the community. So if we had extra land next to our house and we started now, you know, planting food and stuff like that, now we start distributing it out the neighborhood, then from what I'm understanding and reading right now, we would be considered urban farmers. Okay, cool. Now, this is why I said you got to be careful, stop fooling with the okey-doke, and this is why we can't be no dry Christians, okay? If you have, just like Elder Natisha said, if I'm enslaved by this, if I'm dependent on weed, if I'm dependent on alcohol or any other drug or substance, you think you're going to be able to dangle this in my face and then now give me limitations? So you're going to tell me that I can drink, but I can only drink between the hours of 7 and 9, or I can only drink upstairs and not downstairs, I can only drink outside but not inside? Your bug. Because I'm bringing my flask, and I'm putting the alcohol in there since you want to act like you cute,
You too cute to admit that you like alcohol. I might play your game, but my liquor's still coming up in here. So I may not bring the tequila bottle up in here. I may not bring the bottle of Patron up in here with the label on it. But somehow, some way, me and my alcohol is coming up in this church. And it always amazes me how, because that's the first thing I thought about when weed was legalized. I said, so you already have people with drinking and driving. How are you now going to try to control? And it's not like it wasn't already being done. But now you're going to try to make rules that you shouldn't be high and drink. You cannot implement stuff and then you try to be cute and now try to put rules on it when you know people don't have any limits. It doesn't work like that. I'm not going to teach these people how to be urban farmers, how to grow. Next to you growing the collard greens, you got the weed. But you can't pluck the weed on Tuesdays. You got to pluck the collard greens on Tuesdays. But you can't bag the weed on Fridays because you got to get ready for church on Saturday. Or you can't bag the weed on Saturday because you got to get church ready for church on Sunday. You cannot put rules on this stuff. And it always amazes me. There are no rules. When you said weed was legalized, guess what? However we can do this weed, I can bring my TV tray and put it outside on the curb and I can sell it to get you and this license you claim I need. You said it's legal. So I'm going to legally sit in front of my home and sell this weed. I'm going to legally walk up and down the block because people had already started doing it before it was quote-unquote legalized. They had already started being bold and standing up on the boulevard just smoking it like it was a cigarette. So now you've given them more leeway to now do this. And as a church and as a leader, so this now questions, are you one of these self-appointed leaders? Did you give yourself the pastor title? Or did God really say, you're a pastor, I want you to lead? Because there is no way it makes sense to you. But you are really being led by the Holy Spirit. And if you have ever, everyone has been enslaved by something. And when you stop trying to fool yourself and fool God, and you allow God to show you that you really ain't as strong as you believe you are, you start understanding that you cannot go everywhere and do everything or be around everyone. So how are you now going to tell these people that they can come to church? Foundation of weed. Put rules on this. How does this work? You're implementing something that you have already seen help people to be out of control, but now you're going to try to put rein on it, like have control over it?
Well, thank you for the switch tip. On Wednesday.
I'm sorry, but it's just so remedial to me. It's so remedial.
Oh, gosh.
And I think it's a really big insult
still
for those of us. I'm sorry, but it's an insult for those of us who are struggling. It's an insult.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. All right, Elder Natisha. Now we have to put some tape on Shantisha's mouth. You know, he says he wants to show young people the advantages and impact of urban farming, it will make a distinct difference. Now, you're in leadership. How would this possibly make a distinct difference?
I don't see it. I don't see the vision. I don't see the vision that he has.
So calm. I don't see the vision.
I mean, I don't see it. I don't see that vision. I think, unfortunately, it's what many have done. It's the same way that we have taken the Word of God and remixed it with our experiences and with our own personal morals and ethics, and then call it biblical principles. I think this is the same type of thing where a leader, a pastor, would take a concept that is correct, a concept that is right, and then remix it with his own understanding, with his own thoughts and theology, and then call it evangelism. I think we continue to see how as a people we progress more and more to our own carnality and move further and further away from sitting at the feet of Jesus and really filtering these things through the Spirit of God. I believe that if he had filtered this through the Spirit of God, that he would come up with all of the ways that this vision, while, you know, you're trying to use unconventional ways, that's biblical. We've seen unconventional ways be used, right? We saw Moses, a stick, right, become a rod that parted the Red Sea. We've seen unconventional ways, but it was birthed out of the miraculous. It wasn't birthed out of the mind, the humanity, the carnality of an individual. And I do not think that you can call evangelism of any type. You can't call it evangelism if you are going to use world tactics to try to gain the world. The gaining of the world has always come through the Spirit of God, through the miraculous of God, the supernatural power of God, the supernatural flow of God to draw men unto himself. To me, this is bigger than church. If you're talking about you want to win souls to the kingdom, then we're talking about winning souls to the kingdom through a principle that leads them through the process of sanctification and purification. So as we're pulling them out of something, we're bringing them to something. And if you try to utilize that principle by utilizing the stench of sin to draw them, it's not going to work. You're using the stench of sin. I want people that smell like weed. I understand what you're trying to say, and it could even sound good to the 21st century pastor to think that we want to use what's going on. We want to be relevant, but we can't be so relevant to the point that we step outside of who we are. Kingdom principles are still kingdom principles. Kingdom citizens are still kingdom citizens. The church should still be the church. It is the place in which we go, the ecclesia, to encounter God, and that should remain holy. So I hear what you're trying to do, Jamal, Pastor Jamal Bryant. However, I think this is one of those things where you needed to sit at the feet of Jesus and filter this, not through your own humanity, your own understanding. The Bible warns us against that. It says, lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge God. So that's my thought.
Amen, ladies. Amen. Vivian really threw us a nice topic this morning. Thanking you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and I pray you have a blessed day.
Everyone enjoy. Let's go back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
All right now. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I see what happened. I'm so sorry, family. I see what happened. It's 7:30 where I'm at. I'm like, we ending?
Oh, you're not. Okay, okay. Yes. Okay, okay.
That's
good for you this morning.
My apologies.
And so, okay, it makes sense because I was looking for you this morning, and I didn't find you. And I was like, oh, okay, I didn't see her. Maybe she overslept or something.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. So even my prayer time, I got up at 6 o'clock here, but it was actually 7 o'clock there. So the truth is, I was just on the prayer line. That's what happened. I am so sorry. My apologies, ladies.
Amen.
It's okay.
It's okay. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. It's an adjustment, girl. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies. And again, we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You all too.
Thank you. You know, we gave Pastor Charlene a prelude to this yesterday. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Pastor Charlene, good morning.
Good morning.
That's better.
So listen, you had already got two tuned up from yesterday, because this is one of the things we talked about yesterday on Church Folk, our Church Folk segment. You know, why are people given positions, you know, in the church that they shouldn't have? And one of the things is, you know, you trying to fill them seats. You trying to make people happy. You know, now you done dumb God down. You done drop God so low that the church supposed to sell weed to draw the people and for a business opportunity. So what is the faith over fear on that one?
Well, first of all, by his name alone was going to draw the people. I was stuck on, and I'm still a little stuck, but my first thought was with him was it the contact? Because if you have a whole church full of people and everybody is high, I'm going to get a contact from it. Have you ever walked down the street and just walked past them and you get a contact from it, right? And my thought was of the motive, what do you really have behind that you are actually doing? And yes, I thought about, too, of we put people in positions. And now you, not only you, Pastor Jamal, also the ministers that you have with you, also your deacons that you have with you, and this is okay, and you don't want to deal with the church people. You want to deal with the ones that have issues, right, diseases. Right, you want to deal with those that have that's getting drunk, getting high, and like Santi said, Lady Tamika. Next it'll be the pole. Next it'll be, so you have all of this. You're drawing them in, but when are you telling them that this is not how to live? Where is the deliverance? That was a thought for me. Where is about the soul of them being able to do that? You're getting people who are so high that they're not going to read their Bible. They're not reading the Bible because you're saying that it is okay to draw in the seats, because we talk about the numbers. How many people are coming in? How many people are staying? They're coming because you're giving them something and not teaching them that it's not okay. So I thought of, As this time of the fearness, you're going to taint it, I think that's the right word, of the ones that really want to know God. Is that the right word, Pastor? Taint it?
Yeah, taint, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So now it goes into with that you're mixing the people who are really trying to see God for who he is, trying to get delivered. All of us can be delivered from it. And now if we are around it long enough and not strong enough, now we're going to all fall back. And then is that okay? So who is the one that's going to stand up for God and be able to say that for God, I want to be delivered. For God, I want to be able to help another soul. For God, I want to be able to spread his word and not be high. And not be high. I was a drinker. So it made me think of, if I was around it long enough, and that's what everybody else is doing, when things, tragedies or whatever come up against me, I will fall back because I'm around you. I'm not having nobody to strengthen my spiritual side. So I thought of that, and I'm like, come on, man. You've been you always having a scandal going on. But what I'm not understanding, the people that's coming in, your numbers are going up because of the name and the fame and not want to be delivered. This day and time, so many people don't really want to get. They don't want to be chastised. They don't want you to tell them nothing. My fear is of that is that when are people going to really get saved? When are we going to really get to the place of where that for the souls of the people? Remember they used to say put one bad apple and it spoil a whole bunch? That's what we're doing. So where are we going to be able to trust what God really called us to do. You still need deliverance yourself, because ain't no way that you could tell me that God told you that it's okay for everybody to be in there smoking. And when y'all were saying about fire, the place will go up in fire because everybody going to be in there smoking, because I'm going to go in there, I'll light up. Why, if you already allow it, why can't I light up while we sitting there while you preaching? Why can't I light up while I'm in the bathroom? Why can't I light up, you know, in front of the church? Because people don't even have the respect of a cigarette or drinking in front of the church. And I'm talking about people, deacons, preachers, that light up in front of the church with just a cigarette. So can you imagine? And that stuff do stink. It smells like doo-doo. I just wanted to say, because ain't nobody else said it, so I wanted to say it. So my thing is, we got to get to God. We got to come back to God. We got to go back to the basics. We got to go back to being able to lay out on God and really hear what God is showing us, telling us, and also directing us of what we need to do. Because is somebody going to come in there and tell him that that's not how you do it? What about his little clique that he hang out with? That's scary. Because if you're doing it, there's others that's doing it that you're with, because nobody told you no. So it's always a group of people. So how do we go from here? There's so much to be said about this. How do we go from here? What are we teaching? You know what? I'm not going to listen to Pastor Beard. I'm going to go over there with Pastor, well, let me switch it around. I'm not going to listen to Pastor Steph because she's a lot, you know, tougher than me. So I'm not going over there with Pastor Steph, because she's going to be like, nope, you're not coming in here. You're not going to do such and such and such. But let me go try Pastor Beard. Okay, well, let me go over here to Elder Natisha. Let me go over here till I get a yes of what I'm able to do. And that's what he did. He opened up a door for the yeses for them. But now are these people going to be able to get into the kingdom, because they don't know Christ? And all you showing them is this part of being able to smoke, being able to do these things and not get chastised. That's not how Jesus do. He wants the best for us. He don't want us to taint up this temple that we have. So my thought is for that is, the fear is, look at the end of these days now. Look how it is becoming inside. There is no church building anymore because of the fact that we're just opening up the door and every and anything goes. That's very fearful of all of us who's trying to live right, all of us that's trying to preach God's word, and where that you have so many that's coming up against each other. And that's what this is. It's about the preachers are coming up against each other in another kind of way, and we're not even focusing on it. But trust God. I say to everybody on here to trust God and ask God where you should go. You know right from wrong. Read the word for yourself. Don't get up. If you don't want to live for Christ, then say you don't want to live for Christ. It's no need. Either the word tells us to either be hot or cold, because if we lukewarm, he's going to spit you out. Pick and choose this day which way that you should go. You know that it's not right. You know that you can't be high and hear the word of God. You can't, because you want to be too busy wanting to eat the munchies or too busy sleeping. So being able to show that you, for God I live, for God I die, for God I want to be with at the end of all things. I want to be able, when he comes back, I want him to be able to say my name. I want him to be able to take me with him. I want to be able to teach my children of how we should live. And that's a scary thing. That is very fearful out here right about now. Everything that's going on, let's get it right. And he said that he's going to start with us within the church house. And the church is us. So let's get it together. Trust and listen to what God tells you to do. And let him lead you in the way that you should go. My faith over fear for today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Charlene, for your word for the day. And we pray you have a blessed day.
And you do the same.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's get that benediction. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38-39. You know, as I was listening to the ladies today, this is a scary world out here if you don't know the Lord. Because just like Pastor Charlene said, and the ladies have said, anything goes now. You know, via our switch tip this morning, there was a question that was asked. How do you not, or how do you now control what you have allowed to be set free? These people already have issues. You know, you've already said, you know, these people have issues. So now, am I monopolizing on their issues? Am I now helping to bring them lower? Aren't we supposed to be in the world but not of the world? You know, you could think of a million scriptures, you know, in this Bible that would be go against this entire theory of what he's presenting to the church. And the world already has, you know, they already have these people, you know, and here you are. You're not offering anything different. We're supposed to be the peculiar. We're supposed to be the ones that have the renewal of the mind. But there is nothing in his presentation, nothing in his plan, as Elder Natisha so just lightly said, nothing in his vision that would indicate that this is a vision from God. Nothing. There is nothing, because it is everything that is against. Here we are already battling the world. And now we are literally picking up the world and bringing it into the church. Because just like it's been said, you know, Shanti said it, Pastor Charlene said it, you know, are you going to be able to later say, yeah, we're going to sell this, but you can't smoke this here? Because one thing, if you ever notice something about people who smoke weed, first of all, it ain't no morning, noon, or night. It is all day, all morning, all noon, and all night. It is any day of the week. They'll, whatever little last couple of dollars they have, that's what they're going to spend it on. They have no regard for others. You know, as bad as this stuff smells, wherever they want to light up, they light up. It does not make a difference. So just as has been said, are we going to be able to control when we let the monster out of the closet? Are you now going to be able to control these people and tell them, no, you cannot light up here? No. Listen, the other day it was said that the ushers would not allow the guys to come in because they had their hats on. And the pastor had to say, well, you know what? Let them in with the hats on. If they want to come in and hear the word of God, then let them in with the hats on. Yeah, you know, for us, especially old schoolers, you don't wear a hat on the inside. However, at the end of the day, is that going to be the thing that we're going to keep, you know, that's going to keep them out, opposed to bring them in? Well, what you going to do with the ushers now? What you going to do with them now? Because that stuff is going to be smelling everywhere. You know, there's somebody I know who smokes weed all the time. And I can't, whenever you walk up on them, that's all you smell. And it, sometimes it literally turns my stomach. And I'm saying to myself, is that what I'm going to have to endure in church? Now, it's one thing for me to have this person who's smoking weed walk in the church on his own, because he just felt, or she just felt, she needed to hear that word. It was something that she needed to hear. It's another thing for you to now say, come on in, because you're not going to be able to stop them when the church is selling weed. It's different when you say, we take, like I think it was Shanti's, we take everybody. I think Lady Tamika said it. We take everybody. Elder Natisha said, we take everybody. We don't draw the line on who we take. We take everyone. But it's another thing to say, well, we're selling the weed, so come on in. And you know what, on your way in or on your way out, don't forget to stop by, you know, the dispensary room, because we got you. Anything you want, any kind of flavor, we got you, because that's what you're saying. And, you know, I always had a problem with the parents who said, well, I'd rather them smoke weed in the house than smoke weed outside, because at least I know what they're doing. Well, you might as well let them have sex. You might as well let them sell drugs. You might as well let them bring the guns in. Where do you draw the line where the animals don't end up running the zoo? Because that's what's going to happen. It is going to become an out-of-control situation. And we spoke about this yesterday in the church folks segment. Yeah, you see all the pluses now of letting them in and letting them do what they want to do, because, you know, I can control it. And after a while, when that monkey becomes out of control, what do we do? How do we keep God elevated? And Shanti's asked this. How do we keep God elevated while you're bringing God down? We're not supposed to bring God down. We're supposed to be lifting them up. We're supposed to be showing them a level of increase, and God is superior to us. He is the Almighty. We've got to go ahead and step to Him. All men should be drawn unto Him. We ain't got no business reversing this process. You know, it's the Bible tells us that at one point the enemy will be able to deceive even the very elect. And boy, is it happening. There's war going on. We're at war. We're at war with one another, because we can't even agree that, yes, there may be different ways. You know, we don't want to do the old school way all the time, because that's not always what's going to bring people in, and so forth and so on. But at what point do we still let people know that God has a standard? That you either choose the world or you choose Him, but you can't infuse the two. Like Pastor Charlene just reminded us, you either have to be hot or cold. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because when you lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. So come on, people. Let's get this together. Let's show that we don't mind being the peculiar individuals. Let's show that we don't mind being separated. Come from amongst them. Come out from amongst them. Let's show that we're not afraid to do that. Let's show that we are willing to stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we will be uncompromising. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my ladies, for always coming through big time for us, and thank you for hanging out with us today. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, or please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now. because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares our life, where it's Therapeutic Thursday. I love you. ¶¶